We're in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we have the ability to pray to you, and you hear our prayers. We can come to you any time of the day or night, silent prayer or speaking out loud, and you hear us. And Lord, we're just so grateful that you are a loving God and you look after us every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So the message this morning is asking with thanksgiving. There are many in Canada today who are under stress. 2,000 Canadian adults were surveyed earlier this year about financial stress. Almost half said money causes them the most stress in their life. A survey of parents in the U.S. this year found that a third of them had high stress in their families. Relating to students, high school students, 24% of those surveyed in the States were stressed about their future education prospects and job prospects. Stress is everywhere. Every time Jill and I are in the car, we witness aggressive driving, even in parking lots. I don't know if you've noticed, you go to the grocery store and you have to watch out. Shoppers are in a rush. In the grocery store, you'll have somebody just, they're on a mission and you better get out of their way. The elderly. What's that, Shunny? Some people are stressed because they try to cram in 16 hours of activities into a 10-hour day. Do you know people who do that? There's a higher stress level in the world than there when I was younger. There's a lot of stress in society. But as Christians, we're not to be stressed. We're not to be anxious. We're not to become burdened with worry about things. We're not to be overwhelmed. Jesus, I like the verse Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" And then in verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We're not to worry about things. But the reality is, we do worry. It creeps into our minds for different reasons. Sometimes the reasons are real, sometimes they're imagined. And when this happens, we can go to the Bible to find out how we can stop being anxious and worried. And the answer is in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And that's asking God for help through prayer. And we must have an attitude when asking for help in trials, and that is, we're to ask for help in every trial with a heart of thanksgiving. And that was a big test for me this morning. You know, a minor thing, an upset with no power, but I should have asked for help with thanksgiving instead of getting stressed and worrying about things that weren't worth worrying about. So there's 5 points we can draw from these two verses. The first is do not worry. Be careful for nothing, as verse 6 says. The word careful means anxious, means to worry or to be concerned. We're to be anxious for nothing. And that's the first thing we're to do when we are faced with a stressful situation. We're to calm down. When Jesus was at a village named Bethany, which is just a little bit southeast of Jerusalem, Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house. And while Jesus was in their home, he was talking, and Mary sat at his feet and listened to every word he said. But Martha, she was burdened with cares. She was buzzing around, doing things, probably getting the food out. And she complained to Jesus about her sister. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Have you ever, you younger people, have you ever complained about your brother or your sister not doing something? Yeah, I remember complaining. Why do I have to wash the dishes? You know, my brother Campbell, he's not doing anything. But this is different. We can picture Mary taking in everything the Lord said. She was sitting at the feet of God himself, God the Savior. But Martha was busy about, worried about food. And while she was hurriedly moving around, I can see Martha giving Mary some looks that would kill, right? Like, as she walks by. But Mary just didn't pay attention. She was looking at her Savior. Martha was so troubled at her sister that she said, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? You see, Martha wasn't just troubled about her sister not helping. She was anxious and troubled about a lot of things. That's why Jesus said to her in Luke 10:41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. That's the way of life it was for Martha. She was troubled about many things. But we're not to live like that as Christians. We're not to worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. And that doesn't mean we sit at home and say, well, I'm not going to be concerned about working to buy food or pay the mortgage or pay the rent. The kids' clothes will wash themselves. We need to work to live. We need to provide and care for our families and ourselves. But the bottom line is we're not to worry about things. But what happens when trials come our way? For instance, you get a call from the doctor about a test result that indicates a medical problem. And some of you have had that. Or we find out the company we're working for is in financial trouble and your job's not secure anymore. Or if we become overwhelmed with the burdens we carry in our day. You know, when our life seems to be out of control and we can't handle the demands that are placed on us by others or the situation, what do? We're not to worry. We're just to ask God for help. That's what our Heavenly Father wants us to do. And that's my second point. We're to ask God for help with everything. But in everything, let your requests be made known unto God. We're not to hold anything back from God. We're not to think that He isn't interested in the little things, the little stresses that we have. We're to ask God for help in absolutely everything that might cause us to be anxious and to worry. There's nothing that's too trivial for God in our lives. Remember, God is our Heavenly Father. He cares deeply for us. He cares deeply for every one of His adopted children, does He not? He'll hear every one of our concerns. and troubles that come our way, God's not going to say, oh, that's too trivial. Stop whining. No, just pray. You have a problem you're worried about, you pray to him. You ask for help. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. As Peter, 1 Peter 5, 7 says, all our cares, not some of our cares, but all of our cares. Some people get burdened and worried about things that you think, well, what are they worried about? But you're worried about things that other people don't worry about. But that's you, personal, right? It's between you and the Lord. Our Heavenly Father will listen to every single worry because he cares for us and because he loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, to die on the cross for us, to take our sins away from us. So how do we ask God for help? That's my third point this morning. We ask God for help by earnest prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Supplication means humble and earnest request. And earnest means sincere, serious, urgent. When we ask our Heavenly Father for help, we're to humbly come to him in prayer. And we're to be sincere about our requests. We must sincerely ask God with a heart of faith and trust that he'll look after us. He'll look after our problems and our trials. When we're anxious about something, we're to pour our hearts out to God, whether we verbally pray to him or whether it's silent prayer. We tell him everything about our concerns and worries. And sometimes your earnest prayer will bring tears to your eyes. Have you ever prayed about something that is weighs so heavily on your mind that you start crying? I have. Not very often, but sometimes it happens. That's what you're to do. Cry out to him in sincere prayer. You know, we men, we're tough guys, right? And we're independent. We can handle it, but no, we can't. We're just as weak as everybody else. You know, when I think of the Psalms, you know, David would cry out to God. This is the king of Israel. And he would cry out to God in humble prayer. Psalm 61, 1-4, he says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Another wonderful verse is found in Psalm 18:6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. When you're worried, when you're anxious, no matter what, just pray earnestly to God your Father, and he'll hear you. We're to humbly ask God for help. But there is something we also need to be mindful of. And that's my fourth point, is we're to ask God for help with thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It's important we're to be thankful when we pray, when we make our requests to God. When we ask him for help, it must be with a thankful heart. Today, as the world drifts further away from God, people are becoming increasingly thankless, just as the Bible foretold in Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And we're also told that people would be unthankful in the last days in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. This also know that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We're not to be like this. We're to give God thanks for all things. As it says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Even when we're crying to God for help about things that have overwhelmed us, things that we just don't know what to do, things that have come upon you just suddenly without warning, and it's not because of something you did, we're to earnestly pray with thanksgiving, because we must also always be thankful for the mercy that God has given us by saving us from judgment and hell. There's a verse that's repeated in a number of psalms. I'll just read Psalm 107:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. When we have an attitude of thanksgiving, we'll pray with hearts of gratitude and humility. We will not pray with a bitter heart that blames God for our trials. That's something that's easy to do. It's easy to blame God for a trial that you're facing. Blaming God for your trials. And if I blame God for my trials, that stems from a proud heart, right? I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to suffer this. Why are you doing this to me, God? But with an attitude of thanksgiving, we won't pray with a prideful heart or an angry heart. We'll pray with a humble heart, with a thankful heart. None of us deserve special treatment from God. He tells us that. He's impartial. Each one of us is just as important to him as every other believer in the world. For there is no respect of persons with God. That's Romans 2:11. And just as the Lord told Paul that his grace was sufficient for him. His grace, that's all we need. And he said unto me, 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When we are thankful, even in bad times, when we pray with a thankful heart, our hearts will show the fruit of our salvation, will it not? A thankful heart is a humble heart. A thankful heart is a gentle heart. A thankful heart is a long-suffering heart. A thankful heart is a heart of faith. Faith that our God will look after each one of us and work things out. It might not be the way you want, but he'll work it out for you. That's what we do when we earnestly pray to God with thanksgiving. We place all our faith in him and him alone. We read in Matthew 8 about the Roman centurion who came to Jesus and his servant was sick. Matthew 8:5, and when Jesus was entered in Capernaum, there came to him, unto him a centurion beseeching him. Beseeching means pleading. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. So he must have been really sick. If he was tormenting, maybe he was writhing in pain on his bed. He was so sick. And the centurion loved his servant. He was so worried about his servant being gravely ill. He came to the Lord. He made his request known unto the Lord. that his servant would be healed. And then reading in verse 7-9, and Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. This centurion, who was, he was over a lot of people. He was a man in authority, but, you know, be like a manager of over 100 people or something like that, or a vice president of a company. And yet he had such great faith in Jesus Christ that he would heal his servant just by speaking his word. This man of importance humbled himself before the Lord, for he knew he wasn't worthy even to have Jesus come into his house. In Matthew 8:10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus marveled at the great faith that this man had. The centurion cared so much for his servant, and he brought his request before the Lord that his servant would be healed. He had great faith in Jesus Christ. He completely trusted in Jesus as the only one to heal his servant. That's what we need to do. We need to trust God completely. And we need to do it with a heart of thanksgiving, with a humble heart, and a heart of great faith. And when we do this, when we cast all our cares upon our great loving Father, there'll be a change in us. The cares that burden our hearts will be replaced by the peace of God. And that's my fifth point this morning. We will enjoy the peace of God. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, it's not just peace of God. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's none of us with our limited intellectual capacity are able to fully understand the peace that God will give us. You know, it's this peace that the world longs for, but cannot obtain because they do not know God. The peace of God cannot be found by going to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. The peace of God cannot be found by practicing yoga or attending wellness clinics. And the peace of God cannot be found by taking mood-altering drugs, which so many people are doing in our world today. You see, there's no peace that man can create that comes close to the peace of God. When you believe that Jesus died for your sin, and when you trusted Christ as your Savior, God saved you, and you had peace with God. As Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's immediate, everlasting peace, right? You'll never suffer judgment and eternal damnation in the lake of fire. But as we live as Christians and as we are dependent on God our Father, we must live in dependence of Him. And when we live in total dependence of Him, that's when we will experience the peace of God. Paul Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, I know some of you have read it, and he was a Baptist pastor in the 1600s who spent many years in prison for preaching the Word of God. And after being defeated in court and facing more prison time, this is what he said: as I was going forth of the doors, I had much ado to bear, saying to them that I carried the peace of God the peace of God along with me. Isn't that wonderful to think what the peace of God that this man had despite the trials that he was facing? It's wonderful to know that we have peace with God, each one of us as a believer. But to have the peace of God that passes all understanding is peace that defies the world's logic. And this brings to mind Stephen. I just love that account of Stephen. You know, he told the angry Jewish people that they had killed the Messiah. And just before the stones were hurled at Stephen to kill him, Stephen looked up into the sky, and he was at peace. His eyes weren't on the murderous crowd. His eyes were on Jesus Christ above, and God, who was the glory of God, who was at his right hand. Acts 7:55 and 56. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God. When you pray with thanksgiving, with all your heart, with absolute faith in God your Father, and when you give Him all your cares, you are going to have that peace. You will get the taste of the everlasting peace that you will have when you go home to be with the Lord. You see, that peace keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And He's the Prince of Peace, right? As it says in Isaiah 9:6, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So as we close this morning, I ask you, if there is anything troubling you this morning, are you anxious about something in your life? But if you are, you don't need to be. None of us need to worry or to be anxious about anything. To be free from worry, we must give all our trials to the Lord and make a request known to him with thanksgiving. He's going to look after things for us. I've had Him look after things for me that were totally impossible for me to solve. And being an engineer, that's what you tend to do. And I think men tend to do that too. You got a problem, well, what's the solution? Let's see, we do this, or there's this option, or this option. I've been where there's no options. And he just did it for me. He worked it out. You see, we have to ask Him with hearts of faith, never doubting, never wavering. Like that centurion who had absolute faith in his Savior when he pleaded that Jesus would heal the man's servant. You know, we have a great God who loves us with a tender heart and a merciful heart. He's the God of this universe. He spoke everything into existence in 6 days. Do you think He can't handle your trials? Your problems, your concerns. As the angel Gabriel said to Mary, when she just didn't understand how she could get pregnant when she hadn't known Joseph. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Sometimes I think Christians have forgotten our Heavenly Father is there. I know I do so often. I have forgotten God will carry my trials and my burdens, and He'll look after me. Well, He'll look after you. You know, churches, I think, have forgotten that they need to make their requests be made known to God. That's why churches all over North America no longer have Wednesday night prayer. They no longer have a corporate prayer. They've given up on prayer services. You see, I think Christians have lost their faith in God as the one whom they can bring all their cares and all their concerns to. There are churches who have Christians in every church that are going through trials. Maybe there are trials here this morning. But the solution to your trial is to turn to your Heavenly Father. He's a great and mighty God. Just ask Him for help with thanksgiving. You need to humble yourself before Him and admit that you cannot do it yourself. You need Him to help you. And He will. He'll work it out. And He'll give you that peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. And it'll keep your minds from being full of anxious thoughts. And instead, your hearts and minds will be focused on our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll just close with Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just am so thankful that you are always there and we can turn to you any time of night or day. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will develop a dependence on you, knowing that our lives are in your hand and that we can trust you no matter what happens, no matter what comes upon us. As we know, we have no idea what tomorrow holds, what tomorrow brings. But I'm thankful that you're always there. And I do pray, Lord, that we can give that hope to unbelievers, those that are suffering under stress, maybe financial stress or health problems, that we can tell them that you're there. All they need to do is trust Jesus, turn to Him, and believe in faith that He died for their sins and rose from the dead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.